you know, I was thinking as I was sitting back there, I was thinking about, you know, why do I come to church? You know, why are we here, right? You know, why have I chosen to come tonight? Right? It could be a question that, you know, all of us could be asking, and it's a good question to ask, to think about. You know, am I just coming here because it's my duty and I need to do it? Or, you know, why am I really here? And one thing I believe is important, that's important to keep in mind, is I am here because I can trust that God's word's going to be brought forth, and I'm going to hear that God speak, God's word. Now, I know you can read it in your house and hear God's word, but when we gather together collectively, it is a joy to spend that time together. And, you know, we have an anticipation and excitement about what is God going to teach us, right? And show us. And I share that with you. I've told you before that there's often times when I'm preaching and then I finally get it, right? And that's exciting from my standpoint, just to have a teachable heart and realizing that God has us here to learn, to worship Him. So turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22, and we have been in this passage for quite some time as we've talked about it being the time of the Passover. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's gathered His disciples together to eat this Passover with them. He has great desire. You remember, He says in verse 15, "With desire, I have desired." It's stacked there, those verbs. "To eat this Passover with you before I suffer," He says. And just to remind you that Jesus told His followers, "I am going to die, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to rise again the third day." And here He's reminding them, "I am going to suffer, but we're going to eat this together first. We're going to spend this meal, spend this time together, eating the Passover meal together." And, we talked about this last time, about how this seems to be this time of Passover where they are remembering what God did way back in Egypt when He delivered His people from the death angel, from the angel that was killing all the firstborn. And I remind you as well that tradition tells us that they had a specific liturgy, a specific way that they would go about this time of celebration. And it's a little bit different than what the common Seder is today, but it did involve four different cups, and that plays a significant role tonight, even as we think about the establishment of the Lord's Supper. So looking at our text, I begin in verse 15. Again, we'll read down through verse 20. "And He said unto them, 'With desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And He took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.' And He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, 'This is My body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me.' Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you.'" Now, I want to remind you that last time we looked at verses 15 through 18, and I've kind of alluded to them as kind of the last Passover, if you will. The last Passover being the last Passover that happens prior to the Passover being fulfilled. And Jesus speaks of that fulfillment in verse 16, "until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And we talked about how when Jesus Christ goes to the cross, being the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, He is the one who's bringing about this fullness of what the Passover was really portraying, that God had provided for them a way to be saved. And of course, with the Passover, it was every single year you had this lamb. And then you think of the Day of Atonement. And every single year they had the sacrifice to pay for their sins for that year. And so here Jesus is speaking of this fulfillment. So the Passover from here on out, after his death and resurrection, is going to be looked at very, very differently. Because the example back in the book of Exodus is now going to fade behind what the gospel portrays as Jesus himself goes to the cross, he's buried, and he rises again. And it is through his blood that our sins are forgiven and that we are truly saved and passed over forever and ever. Now, when we see these cups here, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, verse 17, take this, divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. These various different cups coincide, according to the tradition of the liturgy that we have, from Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. So it's in that passage that Moses goes to the people and he tells them what God's plan is for deliverance. And in Exodus chapter 6 and chapter 6 verse 6 and 7, we read these words and pay attention to these four actions of God. And these are the four actions that coincide with the four different cups. Exodus 6 verses 6 and 7 read, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And number 1, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And number 2, I will rid you out of their bondage. And number 3, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And number 4, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. So you have, I will bring you out, I will rid you out, I will redeem you, and I will take you to me for a people. And so it's interesting, that's what tradition has said, that the way they would celebrate the Passover with those four cups, and each cup in that sequence would be celebrated, they would remember these various different expressions of God. Now, of course, at that time, Moses, when he proclaims this to the Hebrew people, they didn't really like what he had to say. They had a lot to learn, and God had a lot he was going to do as he was going to bring them out. And of course, when God says these things, he means it. This is what's going to happen. I will do that. And so Passover was remembering that when God says, I'm going to do this something, he does it, and he certainly, certainly did. Well, Jesus says in verse 18, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. As he is doing this with one of the final cups, and I know there are differing views on which cup is which, and I don't even think that we have to be locked in saying that these cups are necessarily those cups. But I bring this tradition into your mind so you help you to realize how it's so closely associated with what God had said in Exodus, both in Exodus chapter 6 and in chapter 12. But you see here that he says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until... So the fruit of the vine would be commonly considered wine, right? With the grapes being of the vine. And so that would be the common thing, and that would have been what they would have drunk at this special meal. And he's saying here, I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. So this is a projection forward. So this is different than saying that the kingdom, as he said in verse 16, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God, which I believe took place at the cross the next day. here he is saying, we're not going to drink together. We're not going to have this time of celebration together, you and me, until the kingdom of God shall come. And so if we're going to talk about this drinking aspect, which is a very physical thing, not something spiritual, you can't just drink something spiritual. You have this physical aspect of it. I see this until the kingdom of God shall come, speaking of when the kingdom of God comes and is established physically upon the earth. It's an interesting thought to think about as Jesus puts that in the minds of his followers, of his disciples. The kingdom of God shall come. That's such an important thought as they are going to go through some very troubling times inwardly as they watch Jesus betrayed, as they watch him arrested, as they watch him go through trial and the cross, and he's buried in a tomb. They're going to be in all of this turmoil, and yet the word of God says, Jesus has said, until the kingdom of God shall come, there is more to come, my people. My followers, there's more to come. Hold on. The kingdom of God shall come. So the last Passover then, it from this point on, the Passover now is going to be different. And Jesus establishes the first Lord's Supper. Question. Yes, I thought of that exact same thing. I was like, now how can we make this work, right? And it's a very good question. Here's two thoughts. It might not solve it for you in your mind, but we can trust that God's word is true and right, and Jesus is not going to lie, okay? Here's two thoughts that I have. One is that word in John 19 is often translated as a vinegar of sorts. So was it exactly wine, fruit of the vine? Modern translations say sour wine. Like the King James uses that word vinegar. And every time that word, the Greek word, appears in the New Testament, it's translated vinegar in the King James. So you could make a case with that. It does say he received it. And so then the other thought is this, is that when he would be speaking specifically of this cup that would be involved in the celebration, and not just it would be a special ceremonial of a drink of cup, rather than just whatever. I don't know if that satisfies you. I just appreciate the differences of translation as far as vinegar is concerned, and that's enough for me. But it is a great question, because I wrestled with that too, because I had to look it up, because I was like, didn't something happen on the cross? Right? And I was like, man, how does this work? Because otherwise you'd have to say that the kingdom of God has already come, and then he would drink it. And I don't see that necessarily as happening on the cross. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Correct. Correct. Which speaks more of that the ceremonial aspect as well. But yes. Right. That's a great question. Whew, boy, I'm glad I looked that up. Because I did have that same question. And by the way, as teachers, it is really good to ask questions, because you're going to have times like that when students are going to ask these kinds of questions. And it's really helpful if you've asked a lot of those questions ahead of time. You're always going to have some you're going to miss. But anyway, it's a good exercise to ask questions, and appreciate that, Zachariah. Absolutely. I could say, well, I don't know. I can't figure that out. I'll have to get back to you. And I could say that too. That's totally fair. Because, get this, listen, guys. Pastors don't know everything. And please don't expect that of us. Woo! All right. Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah, he does. Yeah, right. All right, so as we now embark into chapter 22, verses 19 and 20, the first Last Supper, or wait, no, that didn't make sense. The first Lord's Supper. That's what I wanted to say. The first Lord's Supper. We see that what Luke is doing is he's taking. They're in this time, in this room. They're celebrating the Passover, and Jesus makes some deliberate, purposeful actions here. He's taking bread, and he's taking the cup, and he's doing something very deliberate, very specific with them. And Luke, as he's recording this, as he is writing this under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he's doing so to help his audience, right? To help his audience understand what all that's happening in Jesus here with Jesus and as he's approaching the cross. And this is an important part of the events surrounding Jesus' death. The Apostle Paul makes a big deal, and that's partly where we can help use the Apostle Paul's commentary to help us understand this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So what Jesus does is he's taking bread, he gives thanks, he breaks it, and then he gives it unto them. Now, these are simple actions, but the text is clear for us and lays this out that this is what he is doing. I want to make this point. He is being deliberate about this. He's making a very clear change of direction, if you will, from the norm. He's adding. He's making this new, giving some new definition, if you will, to at this time that they are together, and to every future time that they will gather together. He's taking this bread, and you've heard me as I've led us in the Lord's Supper many times. We've talked about bread and how bread is very, well, you can hold it in your hands. You can, most likely this was a loaf, probably unleavened, although it doesn't demand that it be so. But of course, this is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, so it's highly likely that this was unleavened. And so they would have been, much flatter. But he would have taken this, and it says that he took it and he gave thanks. Now, this was a common thing to take something, and especially in these ceremonial meals or with the Sabbath. The leader would take and he would give thanks unto the Lord. After that, there would be he broke it. And we know that the Apostle Paul, when he speaks of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he speaks of that breaking. And here Jesus breaks this bread, he breaks it, and then he gives it unto them. So he is handing out this broken bread. So he is deliberate in his actions, and he is very specific in his words. Notice what he says. He says, "This is my body." What is the this? The bread. So he says, "This is my body, which is given for you." This is something that is being given for you. I imagine as we think about being there that night with, you know, the disciples sitting around this table and Jesus going through these actions and the disciples watching this because they'd never seen this before. This is new. This is a new thing for them, and they're watching this, and now they're listening to what Jesus is saying as their rabbi, their teacher, and he's now saying, "This is my body, which is given for you, for me, for them. It's being given, but Jesus, here you are, right here. We see you. We hear you. We could touch you. You're right here." And yet, what Jesus is doing is he is laying the groundwork for this to be remembered, for his body, the very point that he came in human form and had a physical body that could be touched and felt, that could be heard, his voice could be heard. There was blood coursing through his veins. He was a true man that walked this earth. "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Jesus wanted his followers and wants his followers to remember him. Now, this is not just some egotistical declaration that Jesus is just all about himself and I want you to remember me for the rest of my days. This is not putting a star in the sidewalk and saying, "Remember me." So what is this about? In remembrance of me. And see, what we're seeing is the significance of Jesus' ministry and of Jesus' giving of himself, the sacrifice. When you see that word "for you," and you're going to hear it every time we do celebrate the Lord's Supper, that he's died for you. This is his body, which was given for you. When you hear that "for you," think about, this was done on behalf of me. This was done for me. That I might benefit. This gives that picture of the sacrifice. And this is what God has done all throughout the Bible. You know, beginning in Genesis, he clothed Adam and Eve. Their clothing, the sacrifice of that animal was for them, that they might be clothed. So this, the institution of the sacrificial system with the tabernacle, their sacrifices, it was for them. It was on their behalf for to benefit them. The Passover in Exodus chapter 12, that lamb was taken into the home and then was killed. Why? For them. It was to benefit everybody in that house. Dear ones, listen, this is what Jesus has done. He has gone to the cross. He has done this, given himself for you. For you. Because listen, God's demand is that someone has to pay for our sin. And that someone is you. But for the grace of God, Jesus Christ came and he gave himself on your behalf for you. So Jesus is being very deliberate here. He's being direct in what he is saying. "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." That is the picture of not just do it now, but this is the idea of you need to keep on doing this. Notice it's connected with the Passover. And what did God tell the people? You need to keep doing this. And he did that many times with his people. The feast, just something every time. They're supposed to keep on doing this. You see, Jesus he's God. He knows. And he's dealing with Jewish people here. So he's working it right in, helping them. This is something I want you to keep on doing, just like you're used to doing. But now, it's in me. I will fulfill the Passover. Now, verse 20, he says, like Luke writes, likewise. So in the same manner, so just like he did with the bread, he now does with the cup after supper. So this is after the supper, and that supper I believe to be the Passover meal. So this cup after the supper, he takes it and he says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Again, he is deliberate. He's taking this cup. Again, he's being direct in what he says. He says it's this cup. The verb there is not in the original. So you could say this cup, the New Testament in my blood. Just making the point of it's this cup and the New Testament, the new covenant. The new arrangement, if you will, in my blood. That word new should really ring out for us. Really, we need to think about that word new. When something is new, it's what? Never been done before, if we're talking about an action, right? If this is a new, it's something that's not been done before. If something is new, it's never been driven before, the new car, right? Never been owned before. This is something new. The new covenant, the New Testament in my blood. You see, the Passover up to this point it's celebrating the blood of the lamb, right? Because it was the lamb that you shed and you put the lamb's blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And it was that lamb that you were celebrating and you rejoiced in that lamb's blood. Now that was an animal. So now we've got Jesus saying, taking this cup, and he's saying it again, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. So there's a new covenant, his blood, Jesus' blood. And you know, you've been around the New Testament, you've read it. How often does it speak of the blood of Jesus? And it links the blood of Jesus to our eternal salvation and forgiveness of sin, to the satisfaction of God's wrath. You see, that's the new arrangement. That's the new covenant that God put in place. And Jesus here instituting it with his followers, and it being something that is not just for them, but it was something that he established that would blossom and grow and spread as the followers here took the news of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection around the world. And so where we are today, we are a part of that as we proclaim the New Testament in Jesus' blood, the new arrangement. Listen, it's no longer tied to this lamb that you have to kill every single year. It's tied to Jesus, to Jesus Christ. You have these words as the close of verse 20, which is shed for you. And again, very personal. That word shed could be translated poured out. This speaks clearly of death. When your blood is poured out, you are dying or dead. It is very significant that John's gospel gives us that view of the soldier piercing his side. Now, he's already dead on the cross, but he goes and he pierces his side, and what pours out? Blood and water. That's a sign that he's dead. And, you know, God is putting his word together. He's got everything there. And sometimes we struggle to put it all together and understand it all, but we can trust him that he's got here what we need to have and what we need to know. So what does this mean for us? I mean, what's the benefit for us today here, right? Because we realize that we've got Jesus in this room with his disciples back in the first century. Back in the 30s, right? And then we have Luke, who under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, writing this later, after that took place and Jesus has ascended back up into heaven. Now he's recording this for largely the Gentile people across the Roman Empire to get to know Jesus better, for Theophilus to get to have greater confidence in Jesus Christ and who he is, what he said, what he did. And so we have Luke recording this. Why? Because the church needs to know. The church needs to know and remember what Jesus has said here. Because what this does is it helps bring greater significance to his death upon the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. Because Jesus beforehand said, listen, this is what's going to happen. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This is my blood. This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And so, as we look back to the cross of Jesus Christ, we realize that Jesus Christ gave himself for you, for me. He was the lamb upon that altar. And he was killed. And his blood that was shed forth, that was the new covenant, the new arrangement, the new plan that God has in place. It was perfect blood. It is perfect blood. We as the Church of Jesus Christ believe that this, along with baptism, is very important that we continue to practice regularly in our lives. The Lord's Supper is something that we do regularly in remembrance of him, that we do not forget that he came, lived among us, and that he died, and that his blood paid for our sin. The Apostle Paul takes this passage from Luke, I believe, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as he is truly exhorting strongly, admonishing strongly the church in Corinth concerning the way they were going about this celebration of the Lord's Supper, it had lost its sacredness. And as he is describing it for them, we read in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Verse 25, "And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so you notice that Luke uses very similar wording to the gospel. I'm sorry, Paul uses very similar wording to the gospel of Luke here. But it notice that he says, I received it from the Lord. Apostle Paul was truly an apostle sent by the Lord Jesus. And we believe that he did spend some time where the Lord Jesus, it seemed, had direct influence into his life. And so we can be confident that the church is instructed to do this regularly in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And I like what Paul says in verse 26. He says, for as often as you eat this bread, notice he says this bread, and drink this cup. So this is a set apart, sacred. This cup you do show the Lord's death. That word show could also be translated proclaim. You do proclaim the Lord's death till he come. And what I find there is, as Paul says, till he come, I think back to what Luke says, until the kingdom of God shall come, he says. And you know, we take that and we rejoice. Because it's not the end. We have much to look forward to. He is coming again. And I appreciated the songs we sang tonight reminding us of that. Jesus is coming again. So I trust that you, as I, have grown in my understanding of the Lord's Supper. And I have appreciated this time of study, and I have benefited as I contemplate the Passover being fulfilled and the link that God put there. Just the very timing. This is when I want this to happen. That was all by design. And I praise God for helping us understand that, and we get to celebrate this until he comes. And we do have much to celebrate, don't we? Yeah. So God, thank you for the blessing of the Lord's Supper. You gave that to us, and you told us why. And indeed, God, we rejoice in your shed blood for us, the forgiveness of sin. I'll pray that you'd help us as a people as we go from this place. Help us to be full of great joy. In Jesus' name, amen.